Welcome back, everyone.
I'm Nicole.
And I'm Crystal. You're listening to Las Brujas and Friends podcast.
A podcast where we talk about legends and paranormal stories, sprinkled with true crime, extraterrestrial, and the like.
A little disclaimer, we're not professionals, we're not historians, we just love everything scary.
If you haven't already, which you should have, subscribe to and review this podcast. Today, I'm going to be talking about a story that's a little bit of true crime for Northern California. Well, actually, it's more of a California. It's a crime for the Golden State serial killer.
It's a closed case at this point. But yes, it's definitely true crime. And I am going to be talking about a Mexican urban legend called, or it's known as La Lechuza, the owl.
La Lechuza.
Well, yeah, the owl.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about.
So, do you want to go first?
I'll go first, yeah.
Okay. I'm excited about this one. And I've seen so many videos about this.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Like, footage?
I don't think so. Maybe not. I've seen people cover the story.
Okay.
On YouTube.
So, I'm going to be talking about the Golden State Killer. And this case was just recently a closed case. It was a cold case for a very long time, about 42 years, that it was a cold case.
42 years?
Yeah.
That's how long
in 2018. Been? I believe it was April.
It was open for 42 years?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Or yeah, so it started in the 1970s and 1980s, yeah. And April 24th, 2018, they finally caught that Golden State Killer. Let's go into it. So, the 70-year-old man, a name, we're going to go by D'Angelo with him. He currently resided with his daughter and granddaughter in Citrus Heights, California.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was charged in three different counties. Police suspected him to be committed about 50 rapes. And again, as I said, it began in the late 70s, so around 1976. It went on for about 10 years, and he was now considered, he had different aliases because it was not only a rapist, he was a serial killer as well. So that's why you have Golden State Killer. It was also the original Night Stalker. East Bay Killer, I believe, too. So, going into it, East Area Rapist, that's what it was. He preyed on communities in Sacramento all the way down to Orange County. And the first known homicides for his case began in Rancho Cordova, so Sacramento. And the main ones were a couple. It was Brian and Katie. I'm probably going to say this name wrong. Majory. They witnessed him breaking into the home. So obviously they tried to chase him down, but he ended up shooting them. So that was his first of the homicides.
Just shot them?
Yeah, because they were trying to pursue him. And obviously with him trying to escape, most of his victims that he plotted to get, he always had an easy way to enter and exit the house. A lot of the areas where he would look for his next victim or prey, it would be around schools, lakes, parks, trails. So then it was very hard for dogs, police to find where the exit was.
Right.
And so I remember they would lose a trail. He would supposedly jump over fences. He was very athletic.
Really?
Yeah. There's a lot of documentation when it came to him being like a peeping Tom.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine just like back in the 70s, we weren't as paranoid as we are now when it comes to trusting people. Back then, it was a little bit more of a loose, and you knew your neighbors. You talked to your neighbors, and you kind of knew your whereabouts of what was going on.
I was still kind of in the 90s because we used to be outside
all
the time with no parental supervision. Mm-hmm. We could be roaming around 12 blocks away, and our parents were just like, "All right, be home at this time," and just
trusted
us.
Oh, you and Susie, go ahead. All right, make sure you're here before the sun comes down.
Yeah, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't all that's in there. Mm-hmm. That's a different world, guys.
Yes. So, again, it started in Rancho Cordova. And then for a few years later, like, he would go into this rampage where it was, like, every 3 months. And then he would go out silent.
Need to fix?
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah. And so the second series of waves went all the way down to Santa Barbara. So 300 miles away from Rancho Cordova.
Dang, he traveled all the way down?
Yes.
Or traveled all the way down?
Yes. And so that spree went from 1979 to 1986. Hence, there was a different alias because they could not.
That's right. They weren't connecting it.
Correct. They couldn't figure that out because at that point in time, nobody had the technology that we have now for DNA.
Right.
Okay. Now, being in Southern California, that's where the name Original Night Stalker came into it. And with these, with all of the cases that they had from both Northern and Southern, those were just set up as the Original Night Stalker that was obviously a cold case.
Okay. Oh, Coconut's down here with us. It's Coconut.
Okay.
Our big dogs. I think you're scratching, snoring, farting, moving. It's, mm-hmm. it's not us, I swear.
And she just looks at you. She's so loving. She just looks at you like, yeah. It was me. Embrace it.
Yep. Love you too.
So, in going back up after Southern California, he went back up to Roseville, California. He was actually during this time period, he was a cop. Yes. He was part of the police force. That. Yes.
Holy
yeah.
cow.
And so.
So he knew what to do.
He knew what to do, but the characteristics when it came to witnesses trying to have him, like, as a description, a profile for him, it was in between 18 and 25 years of age. They believed him to have blonde or brown hair, blue or light colored eyes. Okay,
that's like every other person,
mm-hmm. especially States. In California.
Yeah, like mm-hmm. that doesn't narrow it down at all.
He was born in New York, but he graduated in high school in East Sacramento, so that's why Northern California was the second adjective. He knew his way around. He enlisted into the Navy, fought in the Vietnam War, in return and got his bachelor's degree in criminal justice, hence that's why he worked on the force.
Oh my gosh, he knew the ins and outs of the system.
Uh-huh. So Exeter, California, he went from 1973 to 1976 working as a police officer, and then he went to the city of Visalia, so this is San Joaquin Valley, Fresno, Madera, around there.
I was going to say,
mm-hmm. And in 1974 and 1975, there were 85 burglaries and a murder and a series of crimes that attributed to this perpetrator. So, again,
that's a lot. That's a
he
lot.
Knew his way around.
That's a job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so he was actually terminated from the force because mm-hmm. he was in Auburn, California in 1976. He shoplifted, and what he shoplifted was a hammer and a dog repellent.
Dog repellent. Oh.
So this is to deter sense. For yeah for dogs Racing, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
That's to me. I mean, if you're a cop, and mm-hmm. I mean, unless he wanted to get caught or leave some type of traces, because when I was looking at some of the logs that they had for him, he was calling into stations mm-hmm. where he was having these terrorizing these victims mm-hmm. and saying, "Hey, like I already have my next victim."
Yeah, I remember that part.
You look for me. You'll yeah. find me. Try and catch me. You don't know who I am. Mm-hmm. Saying it and then, like, just, you know, not knowing what to do because they tried to catch him multiple times but could never get him.
Yeah, I remember he would call and did it sometimes. He was kind of, sounded like remorseful.
Yeah.
Where he was like, I don't want to do this.
Some of the calls that I did hear that he, when he called his, yeah, the victims, kind of creepy. Like, it was very distorted, but I mean, very vulgar to the victims, you know, just saying, do you remember what we did?
He would call the victims.
Yeah, himself. There's a log. There's a whole log of all kinds of stuff of him. Some of them were recorded. He actually called a counseling office saying that, you know, I have a problem. I want somebody to help me. But then it was like, oh, wait a minute. You're tracing the call.
Uh-huh, and he clicks. And he would click. Because yeah. he knew. Mm-hmm. He's an officer, so he knows how long he has to stay on the phone call before he starts tracking.
Uh-huh. So he would verify and say, like, hey, I'm the East Side Rapist. I have my next victim already stopped. You guys can't catch me. And, I mean, just like this, breadcrumb trail that he would yeah. leave, but still not.
Yeah.
Not have
not
a
enough.
Way. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was married, but he was only married for a short period of time and was later divorced. And
I can't believe he was married, though, to even yeah. be in a relationship that deep to get married and still be doing all of this.
The crazy thing with him when he had his victims, because at first his prey was mainly just single women who lived by themselves
uh-huh.
or He's women who had children. Then it slowly gradually went to... Did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard that.
You're probably the TV. Doesn't matter.
The TV is settling.
he gradually went into couples. And so how this worked for him was he entered through like a sliding door or window, right? And this would be in the middle of the night. And what he would do...
get the bat and put it in between us.
He would wake up the couples. He would have the woman shoelace tie the man.
Yeah, I remember.
And then place the dishes on top of his back and would pretty much threaten him and say, you know, if the dishes fall, then I know and everybody's going to die, X, Y, Z, all that stuff. And he would proceed to rape the women while the man is in the other room. Go into the kitchen, eat some food, drink some beer, do all this like normal, and then repeatedly go back to the woman and then leave after that.
That's in... that blows
hours
my mind.
Of this. Yes.
That blows... he knew.
Yeah.
He knew exactly who he should choose as victims. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, if that happened to us, we'd be like, F these plates. These plates are flying.
Yeah, yeah.
We're fighting till the death, sir. Mm-hmm. So he knew. He knew how to choose victims.
Yes. And again, during that time period, a lot of people didn't feel the need to have firearms, I guess.
Yeah.
Because crime wasn't there. But I mean, if you know that in your area, in your town, there is a serial killer or a rapist on the loose, you better put some bars on those windows. You better lock up everything.
Heck yeah.
Don't just leave it with one little key.
Sometimes I worry about when people come into our house because we got bats. We got a lot of stuff around this house. Mm-hmm. That is specifically placed in certain spots for ourselves to be armed when we need to be. If it ever comes to that.
So now that it's been 2 years since he was arrested, so before being arrested, the police force, they were obviously, what do you call it? Like when they're watching them?
Surveillance?
No. Yeah, they were surveillancing the area. Okay. And so when they came to the day to arrest him, he told them that he had a pot roast in the oven. And they told him, it's okay, we'll take care of it for you.
Wait, are you going to talk about how they linked him to all the murders?
Well, so it was through genealogy. So the DNA, obviously, there was in some of the cases.
Genealogy.
Yeah.
such a dad joke.
Right? Some of the cases had DNA and it was obviously frozen. So eventually when our technology became to where it is now, this is what linked it. There were, I believe in Sacramento, they were holding like a $50,000 ransom to try and link or have like a tip of some sort to try and get.
So they had like a reward?
Yeah.
But did you read about what they used to link him? Do you remember that part?
No.
In his house as they were surveillancing him.
Oh, on the door?
No.
What?
That's not how they got it.
Trash.
Yeah.
It was a Kleenex or something.
It was a Kleenex. Yes. So I remember that they were surveilling, like you said, they were surveillancing his home because they had an inkling it was him. I don't remember why they thought it was him to begin with.
Yeah, when they figured out there was a DNA, obviously he was a cop already, so his fingerprint and all that stuff was already there. Not saying that they couldn't trace his fingerprints before.
But he wasn't a suspect.
It was in a group, a cluster of possible people. And in what I was looking at, during that time period when, say, our neighborhood watch would have gatherings, he would be there. And
oh my God.
Nobody thought anything of it. So I don't know if he was dressed as a cop or just as an average Joe wanting to know about the neighborhood and obviously lurking at the victims.
Oh,
who's there? Who can I get? Who can I prey on?
I remember that they were surveillancing his home and they needed, obviously, a hard piece of evidence to link his DNA to the DNA they found. Mm-hmm. I think what happened was... okay, so I know that they went through his trash. It was trash day. They saw him come out, leave his trash in the big bin.
Mm-hmm.
And then they went into the big bin and they took a tissue out. And it was his tissue. And they ran that DNA and that's how they connected him with all the other DNA. I don't know if it was that case or another case. The reason why they started to narrow down their suspects to him was because of the DNA ancestry. Did they talk about that?
Mm-hmm.
Did you read about that? Because I remember they said that they found, that's what it was. Okay, so they had the DNA, obviously, from all of the victims. And then when they looked through the files for like all the DNA ancestry and all that stuff,
yeah,
it linked to like a third cousin or something. like a third, fourth, fifth cousin, somebody very far out in the tree, and then they slowly started to like narrow it down, and then he ended up being a suspect.
Yeah, well, keep in mind during that time period they had that age gap from 18 to 25, and it had already been 42 years, so obviously doing the math, you have to figure out, you know, like that's how everything goes down. Oh, and depending on who's alive and who's, you know, so like they give a list of 50 rapes. Now this goes everywhere. I'm in Danville, I'm in Walnut Creek, I'm in Fremont, Concord, San Jose, San Ramon, Parkwood, La Riviera, Woodson, Elkhorn, all over. And the time periods fluctuate. So some of the times that they reported 4 a.m. to 3:20, 11, 7:30 p.m.
So we had no pattern. Dang, 7:30 p.m. That's like
p.m.
That's like prime time. Everybody's home.
Yeah. In Citrus Heights, Sacramento, 7:30. And then again, because it went from a woman, single woman by themselves, women with children, then to couples.
So we had no pattern.
No. And even as early as 6:30 a.m. for the rapes.
Whoa.
6:30 a.m. People usually get up around that time.
Yeah.
But again, you know, I don't really know.
Was he on anything? Or was...
He hasn't really said much now that he's been arrested and incarcerated. Mm-hmm. Just recently, the judge made a statement saying that they're going to start the preliminary hearing in May of this year.
Whoa.
He was arrested in 2018. Uh-huh. This has gone for two years. And with all of the data that they have, his defense needs to look over more than 250,000 pieces of evidence from the prosecutors. And they're trying to project that they won't be ready until January of next year. But judge said, nope.
You have
to. Most of your witnesses are how old now? Look at how old you are. And we've already waited 2 years. It's starting in May.
Oh, heck yeah.
And so the judge asked D'Angelo, do you waive your rights for this? And he's just like, yeah.
Oh.
I mean, shit. He's, 80?
I think so, right?
Come on.
Yeah. It's time, sir.
Yes. And I'm surprised they haven't really let him make a statement.
They haven't?
I searched to be like, you know, say something.
Yeah.
Just quiet. It's just in awe, like it's really happening to him. And for me, to think that you're living with your daughter and your granddaughter.
They're like, they finally got me.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. There could be. Yeah. He's living with his daughter and granddaughter.
Yeah. And for me, I'm just boggled by it because where he lives or where they live in Citrus Heights was the same neighborhood his first victim lived.
Oh my. That's trippy.
Yeah. What psychological...
Can you imagine his everyday life?
Process you think that, you know, nobody's going to recognize me.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, when I'm sure that whole town was scared and was trying to figure out who did it. Yeah. And he's living there.
Yeah.
And I remember a lot of people were like, yeah, we just thought he was just like an old retired man, an old grandpa.
Mm-hmm. He was a mechanic. He was on the force. I mean, he could give you all kinds of stories. I was in the military. I worked in the police force. I'm a mechanic. Now I have, you know, I'm a grandfather and great-grandfather or whatever the case is, you know?
Yeah.
So that's pretty much my story on the Golden State Killer. There's a lot of information out there because it's still unfolding.
Yeah.
There's more to come. So I'm excited to see in a few months what's going on.
Yeah, me too. I know. I remember watching everybody's updates that were like, he got caught. Uh-huh. And I remember that's when I started getting it. But it's been a while since I heard this.
Yeah, and I was messaging a lot of my friends like, can you believe this is where he ended up coming? Like, he started up there, he went down to Southern, and then he's back over there.
It's crazy.
Not in a different state.
That's a lot of people that he's linked to. A lot.
Yeah. And that's 13 counts. Person. Yeah, 13 counts. They have him charged for 13 counts of murder with special circumstances. Meaning, like, committed during course of burglary and rape, 13 counts of kidnapping and robbery. At first it was just 8, but then it went all the way up to 13, so we're gonna see.
That's crazy. Can you imagine, though? Because I remember hearing that if you don't have a warrant or permission or whatever, and you take somebody's trash to link them to something as evidence, since you don't have the proper paperwork done, all of that can be thrown into the trash, mm-hmm. and it will not be valid in court. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. If this man comes out of prison, we are rioting. Okay, guys, yeah. we are going to get together and we're going to riot.
I can only imagine what his daughter thinks.
I wonder if she ever had the inkling that there was something wrong, and if she was, when it happened and he got arrested, and she was like, I knew something was yeah. up. I wonder if that's what...
Because he retired and ended up living with them, right? Now,
I can't believe he had a whole daughter.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm assuming that if he was doing all of this after being divorced, the kids stayed with the mom.
Of course. But I mean, like, I can't believe he was living with this. They had to have some sort of relationship.
And it reminds me of... why am I having a brain fart? Ted Bundy.
They're charismatic. Be careful. Charismatic. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Kidding, but not really.
Like, be aware. It's insane because they went on with their average, you know?
Right.
Average life, like nothing happened. And this was just like a feed for them. This was their fix. No, it mm-hmm. wasn't drugs.
No, yeah, right? Mm-hmm. It wasn't drugs. It wasn't
And these drinking. Poor victims, you know, who have memories and or people who died. Mm-hmm. So it's insane.
Yeah, I mean, good for all the families who did lose somebody.
Or
they have closure. Mm-hmm. They know who did it, yeah. and now they have, you know, they have closure. They know that there's another criminal, another
you can sleep person tonight. Yeah, not have to worry about somebody coming through your window.
Yeah, because I can imagine if you had somebody close to you go through something like that, you're like, well, what if they link that person? You know, like that's what goes through my head. I'm like, if something happens to somebody I know, they're going to know I'm part of the family. So what if they're going after the family?
Yeah.
What if they're targeting yeah. our family specifically? Yep. What if they're going to come after me one day? I'm sure that mm-hmm. a lot of people think like that.
Yep.
And then you're just like constantly paranoid. Ooh, that's, well, I'm glad he got caught. I can't believe how he got caught.
Yeah.
Ancestry.com or what's the other one? 23andMe.
23andMe, yeah.
Okay. So.
On to the paranormal.
That was like a happy ending. Yeah, now we're going to get into an urban legend, I haven't talked about an urban legend in so long.
Yes.
I'm so excited. All right, let's get into this Mexican urban legend. I don't know this one at all, but now I do.
And the owl it is lady.
La lechuza. And
is that it's how you say owl?
Yeah, lechuza translates to owl in English. It is about a witch owl. Have you ever heard of this?
So I've heard of a story, but I don't know if it's the same one. There was never a title, but it was a woman who would walk, like crouch down, like hunchback. Mm-hmm. But she was small, and you would see her in the shadows lurking. But
oh, it's the that's same creepy. Person.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it could
luring
be.
Luring people.
Yeah, it could be because, you know, every urban legend has its story. It has
a twist.
Its own little twist. Yeah. Yeah, so it could be the same one. So, where can I start? Okay, like all urban legends, they have multiple versions, and the top three variations that I read, I'm going to share with you guys. This is the first one. So it all began long ago near the northern border of Mexico. A woman lived in a village with her husband and her young child. One day, the woman got terrible news that her child had been killed by a drunk driver.
Oh.
The woman was so upset about the loss of her child, her sorrow soon turned into anger, and she wanted revenge. So she sold her soul to the devil to become a powerful witch. That was my favorite version.
Usually happens.
My favorite version. Then there's a few more other ones. They say that the child was killed for a crime he did not commit.
Oh.
I don't know what kind of crime a child could do to be killed for. But that was another virgin.
Okay.
Virgin.
Whoa.
Virgin.
Hmm.
Yeah. Anyways. I don't know why I said that. Maybe I'll say it later again. Maybe it links to something I wrote. Okay. And the other version is that she was wronged herself. Nothing had to do with her child. She was wronged by either someone or the village or who knows what. And that's why she wanted to get revenge. Okay. And then some say that the lechuza is a witch's familiar. And do you know what a familiar is?
No.
So familiar, and for any of those out there that don't know what it is, it's a demon in the form of an animal, and they serve and obey witches. So the most well-known familiar is a witch and her black cat.
Okay.
Right? Okay. And if you've ever watched the movie Coco, you know how everybody has like their spirit animal?
Yes.
It's kind of like that, except the bad version of it.
Okay.
But either way, she wanted revenge.
It's a raven. Crow.
Almost, but she's an owl.
Okay.
This one's an owl. And I know a lot of people have like iffy things with owls too.
Well, I would say they'd be paranormal.
Owls? It does. Yeah, I mean, obviously in this story it does, but then it kind of went down a little tunnel to aliens as well.
What? Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. You're the fourth kind, don't you know?
I remember that one. Yeah. Okay, before I talk about her stories, like all the urban legend stories, and I only picked a few out because there's so many. I want to describe what she looks like. So,
Beautiful.
No, actually.
An old chick.
Yeah, so she's an owl. Obviously, we've said it 500 times
already. Wait. Okay, go ahead. She's an owl?
An owl.
Ooh, are we talking? Are we talking about the lady or her pet?
Right now, I'm not talking
about
the familiar anymore. That was just what other. So a lot of people will say the owl is the familiar to the witch.
Yes,
because the witch sold her soul. Well, the woman sold her soul to the devil to become a witch, and then the owl is her familiar. That's just another version of what La Lechuza is.
Okay,
there is another one that I didn't even bother looking up, but they say La Lechuza is witches that turn into owls.
Hey, okay.
So there could be owls everywhere.
All right.
Witches, but I don't know. I didn't go down that road. I just stayed with one. So this one is talking about the woman herself.
Okay.
So she can shapeshift, and her size as a human, she can range from being an average size woman, or she can be as tall as 7 feet. Yeah. So she can shapeshift as a human, and she can also shapeshift as an owl, where they'll say that she's the average-sized owl or, like, a regular owl. Yeah. I don't know what average-sized owl is.
I just found out owls have longer legs.
Oh, you saw that?
Oh, my gosh.
Showing
when they cross their legs, yeah.
Yeah, when they pick up the... They're so long.
Well, and I'm like, it looks like they just have a long dress.
That's what it looks like. Yeah. It really blew my mind for a little bit. If you guys haven't seen owls' legs, Google owls' legs. Really long legs. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it trips you out because you're like, but that's all feather.
Yeah.
It's just really long feather that covers her.
And we had parrots, so I always thought that it was just boom right there.
But, right? Mm-hmm. That's what I thought. Just little tiny stubby legs and then their feet. Mm-hmm. But no, not owls. Owls can, probably sprint faster than I can. So the owls can be average size, or they can be so big that their wingspan is 15 feet wide.
Yeah.
That's huge. Mm-hmm. So they can shapeshift that way. And then, like you said earlier, some shapeshift into different birds, and the most common one is a raven.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. And they can also change their color. So a lot of people describe La Lechuza to be completely black. Black eyes, black feathers, black feet, just completely black. Then there's a lot of people that say she's completely white, snow white, like just a white owl.
Okay.
So a lot of people think that that's just her shapeshifting, or not shapeshifting, but like...
disguising herself.
Yeah, like changing herself to something else. Now her face as an owl. In most cases, her face resembles an owl.
Okay.
But others say it's the face of a hideous old woman, or something else they describe her as is otherworldly, with large, dark, almond-shaped eyes. Like a monster face, a demon face.
While you're describing this, it reminds me of when you were in school and you were figuring out like how you could view a picture two different ways. Do you remember that old woman where it was like a young girl?
Yes.
And then
the old
woman with the big nose.
It's like plays tricks on your eyes. Yeah. Right, you're like, is that an owl?
Yeah.
Or am I looking at a lady?
Uh-huh.
Or is that the devil?
Mm-hmm.
So,
I could only imagine seeing something in a tree or on a fence, and it have a silhouette of an owl, but then when you try and look at the face,
and all of a sudden it changes, and it's like,
not a be an owl face, forget it.
Yep, that's a lot of people say they see her out of their windows.
Yeah.
And there's just an owl sitting on a tree.
Hey, what's up?
just looking in your window, looking at you.
Oh.
So now that you guys know a little bit about backstory, about how she turned into this magical witch owl, and what she looks like, I'm going to go into this last part with a little bit more detail.
Okay.
Before I get into the stories. So where she is seen the most, because there is an area that most of the stories come out of.
Water.
No, not water.
Dang.
Actually, the border.
Huh?
So it's a Mexican urban legend. So a lot of people in the northern city of Mexico, like Chihuahua, Coahuila, Nueva León, and then Texas, because Texas is right there on the border.
Yeah.
A lot of the stories come out of those places specifically.
What?
Which kind of is like, what's going on, guys?
Yeah.
Is this for real? Like, is there really a witch owl? Because if nobody in New York is talking about it,
yeah.
Only majority of the stories are coming out of this area.
I would say, well, yeah, because it's more, you don't really get anything that's too...
It's so specific. To me, it's so specific.
It's so open.
What do you mean?
Remember when we drove to Florida and we saw the border?
Yes.
Like, it's so open. It's just land.
It's open land.
So you're either your eyes are playing trick with you or you're really seeing it.
But yeah, she pretty much just goes up and down the border right there, like in Texas and northern.
So what's she doing? Is she asking for money?
She's just hanging out.
Or she's just, yeah, so she's just peeping through people's windows.
She's just looking at people as an owl. Okay. Let's get into what she does and why people are scared of her.
Okay.
So La Lechuza is a human during the day, and then at night she's an owl. She feeds on humans.
She's a vampire.
A vampire, a whatever you want to call her. She eats humans. Or she just kills
the
humans. Yeah. She ain't real Mexican. Tortilla y frijoles for breakfast.
No, forget it. I'm with the human.
If you ever come in contact with her, any part of her, even if her feather barely touches you, you're dead.
No.
You die. That's it. It's over. Game over. You're
done. I'm ducking every time a bird comes.
The owl. It's a black owl. Some believe that if you come across a lechuza in real life or in your dreams, then that means there will be death in your family.
Ooh.
And now I want to talk about, remember when we saw dead birds? What were you going to say first?
I remember... hearing something in high school about if you see like an owl, a white owl flying in the middle of the night or whatever the case was, like you see it during the day because they're nocturnal, obviously. It was some type of like curse.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
That's La Lechuza. That's part of the story.
What?
So you did know about it.
In Madeira.
That's a little far.
Yeah.
It's a little far from where she lives, but you know,
it's migrating.
She might travel. So what I was saying earlier is, remember when I told you about the dead bird that I saw in front of the door like 2 times?
Yeah.
So this is so random. Just because I mentioned this to a friend in passing, how I left. This has happened to me 3 times in my life, that I walked out of my front door and there was a dead bird literally just right there in front of the door.
Cats wanted to bring you something.
See, that's where it's weird. So I was talking to a friend and I'm like, yeah, you won't believe what happened today. I walked out of my house and there's a dead bird in front of my door. And she's like, that means something. I'm like, what do you mean that means something? What does it mean? There's a whole bunch of cats in this neighborhood. Like, what do you mean? She's like, I know that means something. Like, look it up, look into it. I remember being so nervous because I was like, I don't want it to mean anything bad.
Yeah, right?
Like, it's just the cats, okay?
Yeah, the cats wanted to come into your home.
The cat was like, I like you. Here's a present. Mm-hmm. I killed a bird for you. So I found a dead bird outside of my door. This was the second time that it happened. And my friend was like, you need to look it up, look into it. I said, okay, fine. I'm going to look into it. As scared as I am to find out what it means. Because you know when somebody tells you to look into something or you accidentally find something out and then it gets into your head.
And it's just stuck there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to just get it over with. Yes, go.
Well, luckily, lucky for me, it's a good thing, kind of. Not for the bird because it died. But what I read was that since birds fly, they represent flight. And in my case, or in
they did.
In my case, I think this just is for me and my, to make myself feel better, is that It means that something is coming to an end and you're about to start a new chapter, a new journey. Something new is going to start.
Yes.
Right? Awesome. All right. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. I can live with that. So,
among dead birds.
It was just crazy because the three times that I remember this happening to me, the first time it happened to me was in Florida, and it was right before I moved to California. The second time was in the first house that we lived here, and we were going to move out. Isn't that crazy? No. Sorry. That was the third house, or the third time I saw the bird. When I saw it in that first house, I remember me and Troy had just paid off all of our credit cards. And I remember it was something that was stressing us out because we don't like having a lot of money on our credit cards. And at this point, we had racked up a lot of money on our credit cards.
Yeah.
And we had just paid them all off. And I remember us being like, oh my God, we did it. And we're okay now. Like, we don't have to, you know, change our lives because of these stupid credit cards that we did. And I saw the bird, and it made sense. I remember, like, oh my God, does this mean something different is going to happen? And a lot of things happened after that point. And then the third time was in the old house that we lived in on Torrey Pines. I saw a dead bird, and then we ended up moving out of there and buying our own house. So it makes sense in my head. If I connect it all correctly, I could be just full of crap right now.
Let us know if you hear something different about the dead birds.
It wasn't an owl, so nobody died, okay? It was, unfortunately, pigeons.
Yeah. What about those other birds that are loud?
What bird? The crows?
They're like cousins of crows because they're so loud.
I don't know. I don't know about those. I just looked at the pigeons. So anyways, getting back to the owl.
Yes.
If you see the owl, it means death. So
white or black?
If you're in that area of the world, the border of Mexico,
don't look up.
Don't look at the owl.
Don't let it touch you. Dodge it.
Don't touch you. Don't look at it. Say you don't see it. Okay, so anyways, back to her. So when people see her, she's mostly an average-sized owl, but she's actually extremely strong. Because she can take a full-grown man in her claws.
Whoa.
Because she apparently feeds off of humans, and she will just swoop down and pick you up.
Like, she reminded me of Hocus Pocus. What? She's sucking up the kid's face.
Oh, yeah. Every time I think about when we're doing this, and I think about people feeding off of humans, my mind goes back to that, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if a mythical lechuza is ever killed, because I'm sure people accidentally kill probably regular owls, which is unfortunate. But if you try to kill La Lechuza, the body of the bird will morph back into the body of an old witch. So yeah, like if you try to kill her and you think you killed La Lechuza and you walk up to it, it'll be the old lady.
Wow.
Not the owl. Mm-hmm. Many stories say that it's extremely hard to kill La Lechuza. They say that I actually was watching this one guy talk about how he shot at La Lechuza, or what he thought was La Lechuza, and the bullet did not even go through the feathers.
What?
Uh-huh. What? I don't know if he was lying to me.
With the legs.
The legs.
Just pick it up.
Just start running real fast. Pick up your dress.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Others say that you might think you killed it. So some people have shot it or ran it over, and they'll go up to it, and then she just comes back to life and takes off.
Whoa.
And then you die.
Of course, she's coming for you.
Oh, heck yeah. Many people will see her outside of her window, like I said earlier, and she'll try to draw you out of your house by making sounds that sounds like a baby crying.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Which is, I think, kind of, you know, it goes along with all the urban legends. It's always a crying baby. Or if you're outside already and she's preying on you, she will whistle. And if you whistle back, it's over. She's swooping down and she's taking you.
Yeah. See, this is why we don't respond to whistling.
Yeah.
Nope.
FYI. Lastly, people who have seen her or heard her say that she makes sounds like a high-pitched screech.
Like a bat?
Almost. I found this owl called the American Barn Owl.
Yeah.
And I'm going to play it for you guys so you guys don't have to look it up. It is a little, it's frightening. So that's what you think an owl, this is on YouTube. So this is what you think an owl sounds like, right? And then this is an American Barn Owl. That, if you heard that while you were outside alone, I would be hauling ass home.
When I had heard this story of La Llorona, they would say she would jump from tree to tree.
Oh,
and obviously a big old thing.
Shaking?
Yeah, shaking, the wind blowing. You hear something like that, forget it.
Forget it. You heard that screeching? Because you heard a little bit of the owl at the beginning. That's what I thought all owls sounded like. Just... No. That American Barn Owl sounds scary.
Yeah.
Yelling at me. Why are you yelling at me?
Yeah, because you missed your shot. And I'm coming.
Yeah, she's coming. Don't whistle back.
Yep.
Don't whistle back. If you hear whistling, don't whistle back. So she is seeking revenge.
Yeah.
For whoever did something to her or her child. And now I'm going to get into the stories.
Okay.
And luckily, some of these people didn't have revenge sought on them, but they did have...
They lived to tell... Tell the tale.
Yes, they saw La Lechuza. So this one, I kind of rewrote it because the person that wrote it, it was a little like all over the place. So I'm just going to tell you like the important parts of the story.
Okay.
So they said they were around 9 or 10 years old. They lived in a home and on the same plot of land. Their grandma had a house and it was like a few hundred yards away from their house. It was close enough to where they can see their grandma's back door from their living room window. They were sitting on their couch in the living room watching TV, waiting for their dad to get home. And as they glanced out the window, they saw movement at grandma's back door or in that area. So they're like, oh, maybe my dad stopped there first before he came home. Let me go to the front door and say hello. So they opened the front door and it wasn't their dad. There was a giant lechuza sitting on a picnic table that was like in between the houses.
Yeah.
They said that they remember it being so big, but they were only 9 or 10. So, of course, they even said, like, I don't know if it was my mind playing tricks on me or if it's just the way
I remember
it.
Yeah, because, you know, when we're kids, everything is larger, scarier.
Huge, yeah. They said that they compared it to Big Bird.
Dang.
Yeah, that's pretty big.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it stuck in their mind. So, it had to have been a pretty significant-sized owl. They could only see the outline of the owl because it was late at night. Well, not late, but it was dark. They could see the owl... outline, but they could also see like the eyes looking at them from the moonlight or the ambient light around, and they were staring at the owl in the eyes. It's not good. Don't look at the owl in the eyes.
Wait, is this in Mexico?
This was in Texas.
Okay.
They walked back into the house slowly. They stared at it through the window until it flew away. They told their dad about it, and he kind of laughed it off and was like, yeah, whatever, you saw a big bird-sized owl, whatever. Yeah. But then the next day, they told their grandma.
Yeah.
And grandma went into grandma mode, into Mexican grandma mode. I'm pretty sure she was Mexican. She started saying prayers. She started rubbing eggs on the person.
Aww.
And she was just protecting everything. And then she told her the story of La Lechuza. And then the person got scared. Because they were like, I was staring at this owl in the eyes.
Grandma over here rubbing me with an egg. And I'm over here telling her that I saw something with a scary face. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They didn't say which version of La Lechuza grandma told them. But they got scared. So she told them a bad one. They said that they didn't feel like the owl was going to do harm to them, though.
Okay.
They didn't have that, like, eerie, creepy feeling. But she said that, or they said that it felt like the owl was there to warn them about something. And something did happen. A few weeks later, there was a crazy storm. And it wasn't just like, oh, coincidence, because some weird things happened in this storm.
Okay.
So a funnel cloud formed nearby. Mm-hmm. Luckily, it never touched down on their property, but the storm caused, remember, grandma's house was a few hundred yards away from their house. And I'm guessing she told grandma this in grandma's house, and grandma did all the prayers in her house because their house was destroyed. It was destroyed, and you know what was completely untouched besides grandma's house?
Picnic table.
The picnic table. They said everything else got blown away in the storm except the picnic
table. Was anybody in the house?
What do you mean?
In the house that was destroyed.
No. Like, they were fine. Mm-hmm. But they're like, the picnic table was completely untouched.
Wow.
Yeah. That one was a little like, whoa.
Yeah.
How does that happen? Oh, no, I closed all my windows. Oh, they're back. Okay. The next two stories come straight from a website called Mexico Untouched, and it's actually where I got a lot of the information from this urban legend from. So if you guys want to check them out, they have more stories on their website. More details. They didn't include all the details. So this is the first one. In the United States, in the town of Santa Rosa, Texas, Texas?
Yeah.
Near the border with Mexico, there was a mass sighting of La Lechuza. Mass sighting. So a lot of people saw her. This is in 1977. The bird was spotted on a tree and then flew to the front of a door of a woman, scratching the door as if it wanted to get in. By then, the neighborhood dogs arrived, barking, and the lechuza flew away. The dogs ran after the bird as far as they could, you know, dogs.
Yeah.
But they gave up when the lechuza flew too high. The next morning, all of the neighborhood dogs were dead.
Chupacabra.
Lechuza. Several people saw the massive bird and they were all mystified by the nighttime death of the dogs. Even getting the dogs.
Yeah.
That's trippy. That's weird.
If she can't get a human, she needs some type of energy, right?
I guess. It's not nice, La Lechuza. Leave him alone. Okay, this is the last story I have. La Lechuza was hanging around a small town near Nuevo Laredo. Laredo. Not Laredo, because there's only one L. Mm-hmm. I suck at Spanish. Nuevo Laredo. Okay. Sometime in the 1950s, the townsfolk gathered together to come up with a plan to kill it. So they, that's a bad idea, guys. Mm-hmm. Okay. One person lurked out of the trees using his young child as bait. When the lechuza swooped down to take the child, several men shot at the bird, but only hit it in the claw before it flew off. The next morning, members of the town went to the house of the supposed witch, right? Because she transforms. And remember, they hit it in the claw, and she answered the door with a crutch and a bandaged leg.
Wow. I just pulled up a picture of her of what it could be.
Uh-huh.
And that's pretty creepy.
Creepy.
Yeah. We're definitely going to put this on our IG page.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's creepy.
Yeah.
There's a lot of versions of it because a lot of people say that they've seen her. They'll like sketch it out, draw it out, whatever.
Oh, my God. Even one with hair.
Yeah.
Check this one out. That's insane. These mm-hmm. are, I mean, to catch eyes like that and morph of a beak still of the bird,
mm-hmm.
forget it.
It's creepy. Uh-huh. It's creepier than what you would imagine, right? It's creepier mm-hmm. than what you thought. It was the same way I felt. I thought I knew what it would look like. And Hopi's here to hang out with us.
It was Hopi.
Come on, Hope. Get in.
Get over here, La Lechuza. Come here.
Hello. There she is. See, Coconut can't do that. Coconut just comes up in the background. Leave it. Hey, guys. What are you doing, guys? I'm here.
All right, tell us the second one.
That was it.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. There is another story about how this kid was saying that his grandma was driving in the car and saw an owl, La Lechuza, and it swooped down in front of the car. And she hit it. And when she came out of the car to look to see what she hit, maybe it was an owl, maybe she wasn't sure, it was an old lady on the floor.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. And she knew what to do. Yeah. There's a lot of stories like that. A lot of the stories have the same type of
I remember when I first started driving and I was out in like an agricultural area.
Did you hit
it? And I swear, I don't know what I hit, but it was at nighttime. I was doing my nighttime driving and then my mom was in the car. And all I know is I was driving down the road and all I hear was this big thud in the windshield. I'm like, oh my God, something hit the windshield.
The windshield?
Yes, the windshield didn't break or anything like that. My mom's like, you either hit a bat, an owl, or a squirrel.
A squirrel.
But I kept driving. It was dark, and I'm like, what the hell hit this freaking thing?
Listen, it's either you or whatever the heck you hit outside, and if it's dark and it's lonely, it's me, and I'm going to keep going.
Not when there's no lights. Mm-hmm, not in the fields.
No. Oh, my God.
We'll look the next day.
Yeah, we'll come back to the area in the daytime with more people. Yeah. Oh, my God, that's really scary. What if you hit the light yourself?
Yeah, she's gone.
She's fine. She comes back to life. She's good. She's all right. She knows what to do. She's a witch. Mm-hmm. She's a powerful witch. She's mm-hmm. not just a witch. She's like one of the most powerful witches. All right. That's it for my story of urban legends. If you guys have ever seen or have your own version of the story, I want to know it.
Yes.
I want to share. Know it.
Let us know what you've experienced or anybody in the family. Because, you know, when everybody tries to chip in and say things, mm-hmm. they hype it up and we got to know.
It's just weird because a lot of urban legends have a lot of versions, but the people that I was reading the stories, that's why I didn't include a lot of stories because a lot of them were the same. It was like, oh, the lady that came out with the bandaged foot, or they thought they hit something or shot something and it ended up being an older lady. And I was just like, that? How does everybody have the same story? Mm-hmm. Because they all were like, it happened to me. It happened to my uncle. Like, mm-hmm. it happened in our family. And I'm like, that's weird. That's mm-hmm. scary weird.
And it's not like she's really luring them?
Yeah, in these stories, she's not luring them.
But she needs them for power.
Right. So, like I was saying, a lot of the other stories that didn't really get into detail, but a lot of people say that they'll wake up they hear the whistling or they hear noise yeah. and they'll look out their window and there's just an owl sitting out there staring at them. That's pretty much where all those stories ended. Yeah. And there's a lot of those.
And you're going to trip out automatically when you see a bird just staring at you.
Yeah, I would. Especially an owl. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You don't see owls on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
That's weird. Mm-hmm. You see pigeons everywhere. Especially when we're like infested with pigeons. So I keep finding dead ones. Or birds. But anyways, we're going to end this show.
Yep. This wraps up this episode. Subscribe to Las Brujas and Friends Podcast.
Make sure to follow us on Instagram at Las Brujas Podcast and on Twitter at Brujas Podcast. We'd love to hear from you.
Any feedback, suggestions, or personal testimonials that confirm these stories, we would love to read them.
A question for you. Do you believe La Lechuza is real or is she just an urban myth? And will you be keeping up with the Golden, what is he called?
Golden State Killer.
The Golden State Killer story when he goes to trial.
What were you doing when you first started hearing about it? And now that you know of it, will you be following and keeping mm-hmm. up with it? Join us next week. We post every Friday.
Bye.
Bye.